You are listening to BensTorah.com.
As far as paskening in a beis din, there are some very frightening shailas that we're going to deal with tonight. Some of them are literally questions, ha'om de brumo shel olam. Among them will be at least one reference to the, you know, something that has a direct impact. Somebody in our shul had a shaila that relates to our what we're talking about. 20 years ago on September 11th, 2001, when there were certain people who were identified by their voice on phone calls, could we identify that the person died based on the voice that was in a phone call if that person was calling from the Twin Towers when the planes crashed into it on September 11th? That will be one shaila that we'll address. And other questions as far as being able to recognize somebody's voice, to identify somebody, most often to be matir his wife as if she was an aguna, and also other heterim that apply to other areas. We'll see also a shaila of Yerusha. Will also be based on this question of voice recognition. What I mean by voice recognition is not going to be, you know, talking into Alexa on Shabbos and having a computer turn something on Shabbos based on reading your voice. What we're going to talk about is when somebody speaks, or when somebody talks and screams and calls on a phone, is that sufficient grounds, according to Allah, to identify them as, oh, this is so-and-so, and therefore we can be made that so-and-so either died or so-and-so did an avera and could be put, you know, punished, or somebody could be charged with a crime because we recognize it was their voice. That's the shah that we're going to talk about. Okay, so let's turn on the recorder. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us for tonight's shiur on voice recognition in halacha. Our shiur tonight is based on very important sources in Shas, and then we're going to go to the poskim and see how the poskim apply the shaila of if you hear somebody's voice and you don't see them at all, there's no visual recognition whatsoever, but you recognize who it is based on their voice, is that enough in halacha, in halachic terms, to be able to define and identify this is the person? So the shiur that we're going to discuss tonight is really a second part of something that we started last week. You don't have to have been here last week in order to follow what I'm going to say, but I do want to share with you the goal of what we're going to do tonight. The goal that we're going to aim for tonight is to resolve a stira in Shas. Do you rely on voice recognition in halacha? Of course, coming off the idea of kol Yaakov, Ayadayim de Esav, on one hand, his voice sounded like Yaakov, but on the other hand, he didn't look or feel like Yaakov. Well, Yitzchak was blind, so he didn't know how he looked. That would have solved the problem. But he didn't feel like Esau. He didn't feel like Yaakov, though he looked like Yaakov. Could we rely on that voice of Yaakov to identify who somebody is in halacha? So we have a stira in Shas. I'm going to share that stira with you, and then we're going to see about seven different mahalachim throughout the history of the poskim, and we're going to see the cases that they applied their answer to, and as applies to some fascinating shailas that we'll see shortly. So let me share the screen with you. And I'm going to start with something that we saw quickly last week, but it's important to get this as the background for this week. I'm going to present a stira in Shas. Do you rely on if I identify somebody's voice, that's this person? So the Gemara in Gittin, as well as the Gemara in Chulin, make the following point. This is Gittin Chav Gimel, Chulin Sadivav. The Gemara makes a very simple point. Heich suma mutter b'ishto. How could a blind person who can't see who is with him in his house, how could he be mutter to his wife? Similarly, asks the same Gemara, heich d'nei adam mutarim b'nashoseyam balayla. How could any man be mutter to his wife if it's nighttime and he's not able to see her visually? It must be, concludes the Gemara, ela b'tvias eina d'kala. It's through the visual recognition of the voice. Hachanami, just like over there, in those two cases, it's clear that we're relying on the voice, even though a person can't see his wife maybe in the middle of the night. Certainly a blind person can never see his wife because he's always blind. So nevertheless, we rely on the voice recognition to identify that this is indeed his wife and not some other woman. And therefore, for other areas of halacha, we can rely on voice recognition. Those are two gemaras, both saying the same thing. Yet, we have an opposing Gemara, and here the Gemara talks about somebody who's a Mesis. A Mesis is somebody who's trying to convince another person to do Avodah Zarah, and the Brisa says, how do you catch such a person? Because this is always a conversation that happens in secret. So it's one guy, Yankel, comes to Beryl and says, Beryl, do Avodah Zarah. And Beryl says, Oh, that sounds interesting. But now Bel wants to now take him to Beis Din and have two Edom to convict him, to accuse Yaakov of trying to get me to do Avodah Zarah, but there have to be other people there. The whole point of a mason is that he does it in secret. So how could he ever have two other people there? So the Gemara says, this is what we do. This is how we set an ambush for him to catch this mason. Ketzad Osinlo, says the Brisa in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin. Madlikinas haner bebayis pnimi. You light a candle on the inner room. Moshivan lo edus bebayis edim bebayis chitzon. But you set up for him two edim as an ambush in an outer room. Kadesh Yehuhain rono so. The people in ambushing him, the two witnesses who are trying to ambush him and to see that he's going to be deserving of the death penalty, will see him and hear him from the other room. For who but the person under question that they're trying to catch, Eino Roa Osan. He will not be able to see those Edom, because if he sees Edom are watching him, if he knows that, you know, it's sort of like, if you know you're being recorded, you're not going to say anything, you know, objectionable. It's only when you don't know that you're being recorded, you don't know you're being watched, then you'll say the thing that we could catch you on. Rashi says, one word of this brisa was very interesting. It says that they've had to light a candle. Why do you have to light a candle? Is it to create a mood? You want to create a mood, an ambiance of let's do Avodah Zarah? Says Rashi, no, it's very practical. If you don't have a candle, they won't be able to see. The Edom outside and the outsider won't be able to see the inner guy. And won't be able to identify him. And he could always say, oh, it wasn't me. You must have heard some voice. That wasn't me. And therefore, you have to have a candle. What do you see from this second source, this source of Sanhedrin? It sounds like you have to be able to see, the witnesses have to see with their eyes the perpetrator. It's not enough for them to identify him with his voice. This seems to say that we do not rely on voice recognition. Here we have a stira in Shas. And our goal tonight is trying to resolve this stira and resolve it in the light of a number of shilas. So shila number one that we're going to talk about, well, the shila that we talked about last week, we'll get to that. I want to start with a shila that was asked to Rav Avadya Yosef. Hold on. 1 second, we're just having a technical problem. Rav Avadya was asked the following shaila, very terrifying shaila. And if you want to look at the details, you'll hear the details. And it's actually speaking about somebody, a lady, the husband, the wife of a man named Eliyahu Saada. Eliyahu Saada, as you see on the screen, worked in Cantor Fitzgerald in the Twin Towers. This is the shaila in Yabia Omer, Chelek Yud, Evan Ezer Simon Yud Ches. And there it was. The date is Kislev Tavshin Samach Beis. Now, Rabbos say that's 2002. That means it was a full year after September 11th, 2001. So this year was asked to Rav Avadya, full year after the 9/11 attack. Look at what I have bolded on the screen. Ba'ali, my husband, Eliyahu Saada, Avad B'Migdal HaTu'umim. He worked in the Twin Towers, the Koma 104. The 104th floor, Shel Migdal Hatzfon, the northern building. The Chevrat, he works for the company Cantor Fitzgerald. I'm sure many of you remember that name of that financial firm, Cantor Fitzgerald, which owned the floors 101 to 104, and every single employee of Cantor Fitzgerald in the building was considered to be dead. Well, that, as you see, Shemisradeha, the offices of Cantor Fitzgerald, Hoy Bekomos, Meva Achasad Koma, Meva Chamesh Alamida, floor 101 to 105. Parentheses, Yesh Litzayin, it's important to point out, Shekol Ovdi HaChevra HaNizkar, Shenochuchu, Ba'osa Yom Vavisadim, all the employees who were present at work in their offices, which were close to 650, the real number is 658, I looked it up. Kulam Huchruzu, all of them were announced to be Nadarim, missing. Yom Shlishi Chav Gimel El. On that fateful day, a week before Rosh Hashanah, September 11th, 2001, all 658 employees who reported to work at Cantor Fitzgerald were missing. Presumably, Kafiya Nirasha Kulam Nisfu, all of them were killed. Bisreifa Hanakis, the incredible fire, Shapartsajan that exploded there, and with the collapse of the buildings. Okay, so what's the story with Eliyahu Saada? Asfardi, obviously, as you could tell from the name and from the fact that they specifically brought this Shaila to Rav Avadya Yosef. the Sfari Chief Rabbi, Ba'ali his kasher ilai. She reports that my husband called me, kefi hanira min hamisra, presumably from the office, v'sha 8:20 in the morning. Kedei la'ir osi mishenasi, to wake me from, you know, as a wake-up call. I was sleeping, I was in bed. My husband called me at 8:20 in the morning to wake me up. That was at 8:20. La'achar ha'hisnag shus shel hamatos, after the impact of the plane, she'ira b'sha 8:46, right? The attack happened, the first plane hit at 8:46 exactly. I think 8:46 and 46 seconds or something like that in the morning of that day, of September 11th. I called his cell phone. U'mishalo ana hish'arti lahoda'a. And when there was no answer, I left a message on his cell phone. That's at 8:46, right after I found out that there was the attack. So a few minutes after 8:46. B'sha 8:52, that was 6 minutes after the attack, his kasheri lai meha telephone shli, he called me back from his cell phone, v'siper li, and he told me, shemefanim es habinyan min ha'ovdim shan, that they're clearing out the building, there's an evacuation order in the building, u'me'az, and from them, I never heard from him again. That was the report of this wife, Mrs. Sa'ada. Now, Ravadia, they did their research, this based in, that sent in the Shaila, some based, Sephardi based in America, and they did the research with the telephone company, and all the reports that she gave of these calls were indeed demonstrated in the report of the from the phone company. That's what it says in the small. Okay, that was one piece of evidence. The second piece, and that's what we're going to be focusing on, is could we rely on the voice recognition that she recognized her husband's voice as being a proof that that's him and that he indeed was in the Twin Towers and therefore he was killed, and she's therefore able to remarry. A second proof to this Shiloh, which is not really going to be talking about voice recognition, but it's just important to realize, Hochachanu Sefes, a second proof that my husband was present in his office at that point, Ki his kabel lanu shahabal, that my husband kibel dor elektroni, he got an email, b'sha 8:17. At 8:17, he received an email, and he responded at 8:21 a.m. And the documents demonstrate that the email was sent while he was in his office, based on the documents that were included in that email. And that his response at 8:21 was from there. So we're putting two and two together. We have the phone call that happened at 8:20 and 8:52, where he says he was in the building. And we have a proof that he was in the building from the fact that there was an email sent to him and responded to him during that point from the building. Continues Rav Avadia, and again, the details are a little bit frightening. Now, Rav Avadia has to enter the sugya of agunas. The aguna, the halacha is that for a woman to be mutter, if the husband disappears, it's not enough to have a rov that he's gone. You need a rov and a second rov, a double rov, as you'll see what he means here. Says Rav Avadia, I believe that in the case of this Twin Towers situation, we do indeed have a double rov. Why? Well, one rov, and he says the fact that there was a terrible inferno, that the buildings burst into flames, and he says, especially when you have 50 tons of gasoline in the belly of each of these planes. I looked it up online, and I looked at the details of the planes that did crash. It's not 50 tons, it was only 5 tons. So you have 5 tons of gasoline in the belly of the plane, impacting, fueling a fire that was obviously a gigantic, gigantic inferno. The, you know, everyone remembers the picture of the smoke. And secondly, that was one rov. And secondly, besides the rov of the fact that whoever was in the building presumably fell into that or was consumed in that fire, there's a second rov to assume that the person is no longer alive. V'gam la'acha shehismote tamigdal gamre, the building collapsed. So if someone was in that building, they were also, you know, falling down from a high, from such a height, with the whole building collapsing on top of them. That also would be a second rov that would indicate that the person is dead. So here we have to determine, could we rely on the voice recognition as proof for the person's presence, that indeed it was him, and therefore we could assume that he's dead. So that's the sugya that we have. We have a stira, as I showed you, a stira in Shas, whether or not you could assume that a voice that you recognize is considered to be that person's or not. Now, in order to answer that contradiction in Shas, one place in Shas says, yeah, you could rely on their voice to show that it's them. The other place says, no, you can't rely on a voice. Let's look at a number of solutions to that contradiction. And that will inform us in the various shilas that we have to address. So, I want to share with you a brilliant answer to the contradiction that was offered by Rav Yaakov Mikarlin, Rav David Mikarlin, in the Shailas David. I told you the Shaila last week, but today we're not going to look at the Shaila, we're going to look at his answer. The Shaila that we had last week was, again, a case, just to remind you, of a man was in a cabin, went to sleep in his cabin on a boat, and later, a short while later, there were screams coming from that cabin, and the cabin was on fire, and whoever was in the cabin died. Nobody saw who was in the cabin. Nobody saw the person inside the cabin, but his voice was recognized as Yosef. Yosef or Yehuda, I think that was his name, Yosela. Yosela was recognized that it was his voice, and he's gone. He was gone. His wife never saw him again. So could we assume that the screams of save me, my cabin is on fire, is that sufficient grounds to assume that Yosela was killed and therefore his wife could get married? So the Rav David Mikarlin suggests the following. Listen to what he says because it's an absolutely brilliant answer. He says, there are two, remember, we have a stira and shas that we have to answer. One place it says that we listen to a person's voice, we determine who a person is based on their voice, like a person's wife. And the other case it says that if you see Adam, if Adam see a person who's a Mesis, we don't listen to their voice. We have to actually see them visually. Says Rav David Mikarlin, an incredible distinction between these two Gemaras. When I want to identify a voice, there are two types of identifying a voice. One is, I'm thinking about a certain person, and I hear a voice, and my question is, does that voice that I'm hearing match the person who I think it should be referring to? So for example, a person's in his house, and he knows with his wife's voice, and now he hears her talk. Could he identify that voice that I'm hearing, is it the same as the person who I know? As opposed to a very different question, as opposed to a case where you walk into a room and there's some phantom person in the room, you have no idea it is, and you hear a voice. And you have to figure out whose voice it is. You don't have any reason to assume why it's this person or that person or this person. Maybe it's even your wife's voice. But it's not like there's only one person that you have to think about and match the voice to the person who I'm thinking. Is that their voice or is it not their voice? Here's a question, just an open situation where anyone could be in the room. And that it happens to be a voice, could you identify it as, is that the voice of so-and-so? I identify that, oh, that's so-and-so's voice. So, for example, let's say you're in shul. Let's say you're in shul, and Dr. Pinter's in shul, and somebody from behind him says, hey, Dr. Pinter, how you doing? And Dr. Pinter does not turn around. Who could that person be? It could be anybody, and he probably will recognize that voice and say, oh, it's probably so-and-so. As opposed to Dr. Pinter's in his office, and he's in one room, and he hears a voice coming from the secretary's room, and he hears her voice, and he says, oh, that sounds like my secretary. Now, he could identify them correctly in both stories, but the difference between the two stories is that when he's in his office and he hears his secretary calling out and he connects the voice with his secretary, there's only one person he's trying to connect that voice to. It's the secretary. As opposed to when he's in shul and anyone could be calling him. So there, even though you identify the voice and you recognize the voice, but it could have been anybody, you're not connecting that single voice to that single personality. Let's see how he says it. And what he's going to say is that if it's a specific person that you're trying to match up to the voice, you will be believed. But if you're just trying to identify a voice in a vacuum without a specific person identifying it to, you will not be believed. Let's see how he says it, and then we'll see how it would apply both to the case of the World Trade Center as well as to the case of the fire burning in the cabin. Let's look over here. This is answer three. Aval nirali, d'im chokrim, if we're investigating al guf miyuchad, on a specific person, sheyodim im zehu olo, we want to say there's a voice, I'm trying to identify person X. Is this person X's voice, or is it not person X's voice? Then that's when the Gemara says we could rely on voice recognition. Az yecholim lehakiru b'tvias eina dekala. V'donim al ze'af b'toras edus k'mul. Consider that like a complete edus. However, let's skip a paragraph. However, says Rav David Mikalin, aval kishe'ein donim al guf yodua. You just hear a familiar voice. You're out walking in the street, and you hear a voice that you know perfectly. You know exactly who's that. It could be your mother's voice. It could be your wife's voice. It could be your sister's voice. It could be your kid's voice. You know it perfectly, but you're just randomly in the street, and you just hear that voice. And you want to figure out, based on hearing that voice, like, hey, Joe, hey, uncle, hey, Fred, hey, daddy, hey, mommy, hey, brother, hey, son, whoever it is, you recognize that voice. Could you identify who that voice is? You're not trying to connect that voice with a specific person. You're trying to say, who's that voice? Oh, it must be, sounds like so-and-so. Oh, says Rav David Mikalin, in such a case, we will not rely on voice recognition in that scenario. Azai lonu chaladin al zeh, b'beir mihu. Dav, even though it seems to us, hakol shuhu shal Reuven, maybe we're mixing up with somebody else. Because we weren't trying to identify, connect that one name with one voice, that one person with one voice. It's anybody. We're just saying, there are a million voices, and I hear a voice. Who could I connect it to? That might be very difficult to do. So now, if we look at the stira that we had in Shas, what was the stira that we were dealing with in Shas? One case was your wife. You're talking to your wife late at night. It's dark out. Could you identify is that it's your wife? Well, yeah, because you're assuming, I know who my wife is. Is this voice match the voice of my wife? Yes? Okay. Then it's mutter. On the other hand, what was our other case? Our other case is you have two witnesses in a different room listening to somebody in the other room to see if he's a Mesis or not. And if they just hear, it's not sufficient. Why not? Because it's not that there's a pre-existing person who they know it's going to be and they just want to see if his voice matches his personality, who he is. They have to identify him. It could be any of a million people in that room, and they realize, oh, that's so-and-so's voice. They're not trying to identify the voice with a specific pre-known person. And therefore, they won't be. That's why that Gemara says you don't rely on the voice recognition. If that's the case, let's go to the story that we had with this cabin that was on fire. The cabin that was on fire was talking about a case where we know this guy, Yosef, or Yasala, went into the cabin to go to sleep. And shortly after Yasala went into the cabin, and they saw him go into the cabin to go to sleep. Shortly after Yasala went into the cabin, there was a fire in the cabin and they heard a voice. And they matched that voice to Yasala. So it wasn't that they just heard Yasala's voice and they're going to testify that it's Yasala. Rather, they identified that Yosef was in the cabin. And is this Yosef's voice? The guy in the cabin, is it his voice? Yes, it is. So then you could be makel and permit that aguna to remarry. Similarly, and I'm going to show you a funny case in a moment that's different. Similarly, in the case of the World Trade Center, this fellow calls his wife. Or again, we have somebody in our own shul whose brother, unfortunately, was nifter. Shimi Beagleisen, who was a well-known person who was nifter in the 9/11. He was on the phone with his wife and with his family as the building was burning. And they know it was him. They know he called. He called his wife. He said, hello, sweetheart, it's me. The building's burning. He spoke to his family. He spoke to the doctors. He spoke to whoever he was speaking to. So they knew who was calling. It was him. Now they say, the voice that we hear, and the person who I think it is it the same one? Does it match up? Yes, it matches up. So you could rely on that voice and say that, yes, we could be Matthew the Aguna. But now let me show you another story, a wild story, where you see that this situation, this answer would not permit an aguna. Let me show you the story now. This is a story that happened in the early 1700s. A terrifying story. A shiloh that was asked by the Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf. Who's the Shvus Yaakov? Rav Yaakov Reischer. He was born in Prague in 1670. And he was a Rav in many places in Ashkenaz. He died in 1733. He wrote to Sela Shaz Chuas Shvus Yaakov. Now look at this story. The story was like this. There were a group of people on one hilltop, and there was a Jew on another hilltop. And there was a band of marauders or bandits or, I don't know, Bolsheviks or communists or in the early 1700s, maybe it was the, who was in the 1600s? Tach V'tat. Who are the people in Tach V'tat? I forgot what we called
Cossacks.
Them. The Cossacks. Was it the Cossacks? Yes. Or was it before the Cossacks?
Chmelnytsky's Cossacks.
Right, Chmelnytsky's. Right, Chmelnytsky's people. Right, maybe it was Chmelnytsky's people. They saw a Jew on the opposite hill. And they heard him screaming. And they heard him screaming, please don't kill me. I'll give you all my money. Please don't kill me. And they see from the distance this Jew. And they could tell maybe from his clothing that he's Jewish. Maybe from the, he was speaking in Yiddish. I don't know how they were able to tell that he was Jewish. They couldn't see his face. But they recognized his voice. The voice carried from hilltop to hilltop very clearly. And he was crying, please don't kill me, don't kill me. I'll do whatever you want, just don't kill me. And then from the distance they see a big sword drawn, and they see the sword swing, and they see that person's head chopped off. Now, they couldn't see the person's face, but they knew the voice. They identified that voice. It happened to be that that person never came home to his wife, and now his wife is an aguna. Now, the question is, could we rely on this hearing the screaming from an opposing hilltop, where all there was a voice recognition, but there was no visual recognition because it was a hill on the other side, you know, it was a hill further over. So you couldn't see, they couldn't make out the face of the person, but they heard his voice. Let's think for a second. I'm not going to tell the Shvus Yaakov's answer, but based on what we learned from Reb Dovid Mikarlin, what did he just answer? He told us that when the two kinds of voice recognition, there's one when you know who you're talking about, you just want to know, does the voice match the person who you're thinking of or not? And the second kind, there we will rely. There the Gemara says we can rely on voice recognition. And then there's a second kind of voice recognition where you just hear a voice and you say, that sounds like, of all the people I know, it sounds like, you know, this person who I know. There, the Rav David Mikarlin said, that will not be sufficient to serve as voice recognition. We halacha will not recognize that recognition. Well, in this case, they don't know who's on the other hilltop. It's not that they knew so-and-so lives on the other hilltop, and the question is it the voice of the guy who has his bungalow on that hilltop? They just heard a voice screaming, and they know that voice well. Maybe it's the Gabi of the shul, who they hear him, they hear him all the time. It's somebody who they know his voice very well. It's a business associate who lives, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, and they recognize his voice without a question. But there, they weren't identifying that voice, connecting with the voice, with a person who is pre-identified and does it match or doesn't match so-and-so? They just heard a voice and they had to say to themselves, yeah, that sounds like so-and-so. It also ends up that he never came home. There, Reb Dovid Mikarlin would say, you can't rely on such a voice recognition because it's a voice in a vacuum. You don't know who, you know, you're not trying to match a specific name with his voice. You're trying to say, I hear a voice. Who could it be? So Reb Dovid Mikarlin would say, such a case, you wouldn't believe him. That's based on the Rav David Mikarlin's answer, but we're going to see some other answers. In fact, Rav David Mikarlin gives his own answer. You know what his answer is? The Shvus Yaakov gives his own answer. The Shvus Yaakov gives an answer as follows. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Actually, he answers this question about the person who was killed on the opposing hilltop based on a shaila, another shaila. This way we're getting to lots of shailas, and soon you'll see that how the different answers will relate to different shailas, and the different answers to the stir and shas will relate to the different shailas. The shaila that he's going to answer, the story with the hilltops, hearing the person who was killed on an opposite hilltop, is based on a shaila that was asked in the 1600s, to the Avodas HaGershuni. Avodas HaGershuni was talking about a case. Let me see if I can find you this case. Hold on. I'll find you the story. Another story. We have a lot of stories tonight. Yeah, here we go. The Avodas HaGershuni, Simon Kofiud, was asked the following situation. This is when I spoke about Mincha Mayrev today, those who were there. There were a number of brothers who got a Yerushta. When they got their Yerusha, they knew that they had a long-lost brother from years ago who they hadn't seen in 20 years. And after their father died and left them the Yerusha, there's a knock on the door. Who is it? and they hear a familiar voice. And they scream out in jubilation, our long-lost brother is back, our long-lost brother is back. Even before he opened, they open the door. Because they know that voice. It's really their brother's voice. They open the door, but they don't recognize this guy. Here's a guy with white hair. Here's a guy with wrinkles on his face. Here's a guy with a beard. They remember their little playful brother as a little kid who used to play. And they say, you don't look familiar, but he sounded familiar. So the question is, could that brother or presumed brother who claims to be a brother because he sounds alike and he's claiming to be a brother, but he doesn't look the way they think he should look, could he be their brother? Is he their brother? Could he rely on the voice recognition? Could the alleged brother who says that I am one of the inheritors, could he say, you recognize my voice? I heard you say from the other side of the door, oh, wow, Yankel's back, Yankel's back. I know you believe me that it's my voice. You just look at me and you don't recognize my face. Well, will we rely on such voice recognition? That was the question that was asked to Avodah Segershuni. And again, it's the question of do we rely on voice recognition? And we have the Stir and Shas. The question is, how are we going to answer that Stir and Shas? So look at this answer. So this answer, hold on, please.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Let me ask you a question, and we'll try to answer our question with this question. What happens when a husband identifies his wife as so-and-so? Is there any reason to assume not like that? Meaning, if he would say, sweetheart, your voice sounds like my wife. Are you really my wife? Of course, she'll say, yeah, of course I'm your wife. It's me. So there's no reisa. The voice that he hears matches the person who it's supposed to be, and there's no reason to assume otherwise. So therefore, if there's no reisa, then we'll rely on Tvius Ayin. But what's the case? Do you remember the contradictory case in Shas that we wanted to answer? The contradiction was between a case where you identify your wife or assume a blinder identifies his wife based on her voice, there we will rely on voice recognition, as opposed to a case where witnesses claim that they saw a certain person, they heard a certain person be a mesis and trying to convince others to do Avodah Zarah. Well, there, in the case of convincing people to do Avodah Zarah, what does the person who's the alleged perpetrator say? It's not me. It's not me. He says, no, it's not me. You got the wrong guy. Maybe you heard wrong. You got the wrong guy. You didn't see me. You just heard me. That's why we don't, says the Avodah Segershuni, that's why we don't listen to the voice recognition. Because in one case, in the case of the sumo, the husband with his wife at night, there's no reisa, there's no reason to assume otherwise to this voice recognition. But in the case of mesis, in the case where somebody is accused of doing a crime based on his voice alone, that person says, no, it wasn't me. He'll deny it. So there's a reisa in the voice recognition. What's the reisa? The denial itself. The denial itself is the reisa. Is the reisa that weakens the claim of the voice recognition. And if there's a weakness to the claim because the alleged perpetrator says it wasn't me, so therefore we will not rely on voice recognition in such a case. Why? Because we'll not rely on the voice recognition because he claims it wasn't me. There's some reisa, there's some weakness to the claim. Oh, now if that's the case, let's apply that logic. We just answer the Stir and Shas, that you'll believe somebody if there is no reason not to, like your wife. But you won't believe voice recognition, you won't rely on voice recognition, if there's some reisa in the claim, like a person saying, it's not me. Okay, now let's take that distinction and apply it to the story with the brothers. Here you have brothers. Excuse me. The voice is definitely his voice, but he looks so different. I'm surprised he looks so different. I really don't recognize him. Well, that's a little bit of a reisa. That's a little bit of a reisa. Because if you sound the same and you're the brother and you sound the same, shouldn't you be able to be recognized? I recognize friends from 20 years ago. I'm sure if you would bump into a guy from college, your college years, your high school years, or or, you know, a guy who used to live in the neighborhood 20 years ago, you would recognize him probably. He'd look different. He'd look older. He'd look a little fatter. He'd look a little, more wrinkled. Maybe his hair is white. Maybe he doesn't have as much hair. Now he has a beard, but you recognize who it is. So the fact that they didn't recognize him visually, that's a reyasa. That's a reyasa. And therefore, there's reason to not believe the voice recognition. Oh, but now let's take that logic again. So what we just did is we suggested a new way to answer the stira. The new way to answer the stira in Shas is that when will we listen to a voice recognition? When will we rely on voice recognition? Will we rely on voice recognition? When there's no reason not to. But if there's a reyasa, some reason not to, then we won't rely on voice recognition. That answered the contradiction by a wife, a suma, at night, where we will rely on voice recognition because no reason not to. As opposed to when we catch somebody doing an aver and he says, no, it wasn't me. So that's the reyasa. Let's apply that logic to the hilltop. You remember the hilltop? I'm standing on one hill and I hear screams from the other side. I hear screams from the outside. I don't see who it is, but I identify, but I know that there's a, I know whose voice it is. Can I ask you, according to this logic that we just presented, is there any reyasa? Is there anything wrong if I can't see him? Of course you can't see him. He's on another hilltop. You're not expected to see him. So if that's the case, there's no reyasa in such a case. There's no reyasa by the fact that you can't identify him visually. Of course you can't identify him visually. He's too far away. So therefore, in such case, we would believe the voice recognition. We would rely on the voice recognition of hearing this person's screams, even though it's far away. We could also use the same answer to discuss the case of the both the Twin Towers, as well as the case of the fellow on the cabin in the burning boat, the burning cabin. Right, there's a fellow who went into his cabin, and you hear his screams. And you identify, those are the screams of Yasala, the guy whose cabin it's supposed to be. And the cabin burns down with the person in it. So is it really Yasala, is it not Yasala? Well, is there any reyasa? Is there anything wrong with the fact that you didn't see him? No, you didn't see him because he's inside of a locked cabin. That's why you didn't see him. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to assume otherwise. And therefore, in these cases, according to this answer, you would be able to believe to rely on the voice recognition. That's an answer that's provided by the Avodah Sekeshuni. Okay. Now, gentlemen, I would like to share with you another answer or two to resolve the Stira in Shas that's much more famous than the two ones that I just presented to you. And that's a famous Machlokas, Ktsos and Nesivos. The Ktsos and the Nesivos discuss, those are famous names, right? No one ever heard of David Mikarlin. No one ever heard of the Shvus Yaakov, the Shev Yaakov, the Shvus Yaakov, whoever that was, Rav Yaakov Reischer, the Avodah Sekeshuni. Those are less common achronim, but the Ktsos and the Nesivos, this everyone has heard of. That's because their parish is not a Shas and Shuvah Sefer. Their parish is, they wrote the Ktsos and the Nesivos on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, on the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So if you learn Shulchan Aruch, you learn the Ktsos and the Nesivos. Even though you don't know all the Shas and all the Sfarim of the Shas and Shuvah Sfarim. So the Ktsos and the Nesivos come and discuss the following. They say, we're dealing with the same exact contradiction. We have our contradiction in Shas. What's the contradiction? On one hand, we do rely on voice recognition when it comes to believing a man that it's his wife. At night, it's dark, or there's a blind man. We'll believe that it's his wife, even though there's he can't see her, he just hears her voice. On the other hand, when it comes to witnesses who need to testify that this is the guy who perpetrated the Avera, they have to see him with their eyes. They can't rely on voice recognition. Contradiction. Look at what the Ktsos says. The Ktsos says, something very simple. When do we rely on voice recognition? The two shilas that we just raised are different shilas. One is talking about, is your wife mutter? Is this woman mutter to you? The other is a shila is, could we put this person to death? Categorically, these are two different shilas. Let me explain. Is a woman mutter to you or not mutter to you? That's a shila of Isser Veheter. That's a shila of Isser Veheter. So in the realm of Isser Veheter, we will rely on Tvias Eina, the color. We rely on a voice recognition. However, when it comes to testifying that so-and-so perpetrated a sin that deserves to be put to death, that's Eidos. For Eidos, we will not rely, to put somebody to death, we will not rely on voice recognition. Do you see what the Ketos just did? The Ketos just told us that there are different levels, different thresholds of believing something or relying on knowledge. When you want to rely on knowledge just to know if something's kosher or not kosher, if you hear the sound, that's enough to determine that it's kosher. It sounds like my wife? Oh, it's mutter. However, if we want to kill somebody based on the sound, based on the voice recognition, we want to kill somebody based on the voice recognition, like the Adam testifying, this is so-and-so who is a masist and who deserves to be put to death. Therefore, the Adam for killing somebody, their voice recognition is not enough. You have to have a higher level of knowledge in order to put somebody to death for Dina Nefashos than just to know whether something's mutter or usser, a woman's mutter or usser, food is mutter or usser, where we would be willing to rely on, where we would be willing to rely on voice recognition. Let's take this chiluk of the Ketos. The Ketos just made a chiluk. The Ketos just told us that there's a distinction between Isser v'Heter on one hand, where we will rely on voice recognition, as opposed to Eidos or Eidos Nefashos, where we will not rely on voice recognition. Gentlemen, how would we look at voice recognition regarding an aguna, regarding a woman to let her get married? The case of the Twin Towers, the case where the husband was burned to death in a cabin on the boat, the case where the husband was, you know, his head was chopped off on an opposing hill, where all three cases, in the case of the World Trade Center, in the case of the person who's burning in the cabin, in the case of the person whose head was chopped off by the Khmelnytsky Russians on the opposite hill, where you heard their voice but you didn't see the person, that's all a shiloh of what? Are we trying to kill somebody based on that voice recognition? No. We want to know if the woman could get remarried. If all you want to know if the woman could get remarried, that's Isser. That's Isser v'Heter. For an aguna shiloh, it's Isser v'Heter. It's not Dinei Nefashos. And therefore, for Isser v'Heter, the Ketos says, we will rely on voice recognition. And therefore, according to this answer of the Ketos, all the cases of the Aguna case that we asked about, the case of the Twin Towers and the case of the burning cabin on the boat, and the case that's all Aguna, those are all Aguna Shailas, and all the Aguna Shailas are considered Isser v'Heter. And therefore, we will be able to rely on voice recognition to allow the woman to assume this person indeed was killed, and her husband was killed, and allow her to get remarried. That's how the Ketos answered the stira in Shas, and that's how his answer would apply to all the shilas we've raised this evening. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to see the arch nemesis of the Ketos. Well, of course, they were best of friends, but the Nesivis, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, the great postake of the generation during the Ketos' lifetime. And we're going to see how he understood the answer to the stira in Shas, and based on his answer, we'll see if we come out with the same conclusions or other conclusions. And the Nesivis says something incredible. Now here we have a very fundamental question. When you have Ada's testimony, is it enough for you to know what happened, or do you have to have seen what happened? Let me give you an example. Is it enough if you have knowledge? I definitively know that so-and-so killed so-and-so. Is that enough to testify? Or it's not enough to know, you actually have to see that he killed so-and-so. Now, there's a famous case that you might have been familiar with, where it's a case where you know so-and-so killed, you know so-and-so is a murderer, but you didn't see it. The famous story that the Gemara Makkos tells of, where you see two guys, one running after another. One guy has a long knife, running after the person in front of him, She's saying, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. They both run into an empty building, a small building where there are no windows, no other exits, and no one else is in the building. They both run in. 30 seconds later, you hear screams, and you see one guy run out, the guy who's holding the knife, run out with blood dripping off his knife. And you go into the building, and you see the person who is the being pursued lying on the floor dead in a pool of blood. Did you see the murder? No, you were outside the building. Do you know who murdered? Yes, you do know who murdered. Is that sufficient enough of a yediyah to testify? So, says the Nesivis, that's not called ri'iyah, that's called yediyah. Again, there's two things in the world. There's ri'iyah, to see something, and then there's yediyah, to know something. When it comes to dinei nefashos, says the Nesivis, you have to have ri'iyah. It's not enough to know something, you have to actually see it. When it comes to things like mamonos or iser, all it needs is yediyah, knowledge. Look what he says here. Look at the Nesivis' answer. Imkain, betvias eina dekala. When do we rely on voice recognition? De mahani l'inyan iser. Like the case of recognizing your wife's voice when it's dark, when there's no light. So there, that's knowledge. For Isser, all you need is knowledge. You don't have to have an edus that it's your wife. You have to know that it's your wife. Guess what? Because of her voice, you know that it's your wife. Ah, but when it comes to the two witnesses testifying that this is the guy who killed, and let's put him to death, when it comes to dinei nefashos, we don't rely on the voice recognition. Why not? Look what he says, such a lamdasha phrase. The bedina nefashos beinan ri'iya v'yadi. It's not enough to have a knowledge, but you actually have to have sight. And therefore, when it comes to dina nefashos, where it's not enough to have knowledge, you have to have actual sight. You have to see the murder or see the avera. That's why when the edim are coming to testify that so and so was a mesis, they have to see the mesis with their eyes. That's why you need the candle, so you can see the mesis with the Adam could see the mesis with their eyes. It's not enough to rely on voice recognition. So wow, according to this Nesivis, you will be able to have voice recognition by Isser and by Mammon, but not by Nefashos, because by Nefashos you need not just a Yediyah, but you need a ri'iyah. That's the lumdus of the Nesivis, which is a fascinating lumdus. Now, I want to finish off with what the Rav Avadia writes regarding that question about the Twin Towers. Hold on. Vavadi says, he has a long tshuva talking about the status of a person falling into a fire, a person falling into a building collapses on them, which was indeed the case of the Twin Towers. But after he goes through those issues, which are general aguna issues, he says, but here we have a specific application, because here we have a phone call. Vihine, look at the tshuva over here on the screen. Sichas ha-telephone mochicha, the telephone conversation, when the fellow in the Twin Towers, Mr. Saada, called his wife. Mochicha, it clarifies, Shahabal hayanimsa b'misrado, that the husband was in his office, b'komos helyonos b'yisason, at the moment of that tragic moment. He was in his office on the 100-somethingth floor. Ah. What about voice recognition via telephone? That's a whole new question. Even if we say that we're going to be willing to be matir naguna, because let's say it's iser, it's not edus, it's not dinei nefashos, you're not killing somebody, it's just iser, could she remarry or could she not remarry? And also there's no one who's opposing it, so according to David Mikalin, who said that it depends if there's a reis or not, there's no reis here, because no one opposing it, and no reason not to assume it's the husband's voice. But wait a second, this is not a regular voice recognition. This is a voice recognition over a telephone. Maybe that's not his real voice. It's one thing if I had a case of I hear somebody screaming from the opposite hill. It's one thing if I hear on the boat somebody screaming from a cabin that's burning down on a boat. But here, I hear a telephone. They hear the wife heard a telephone call, the voice of her husband over the telephone. Are we going to say that there will be voice recognition even over a telephone? Says Rav Avadia, I have some from the Achronim, that you can recognize somebody's voice via a telephone. Let's see, who wrote that? It was written, it was discussed by none other than the Beis Yitzchak. Let's see when the Beis Yitzchak lived, and you will be fascinated regarding his discussion of the telephone. The Beis Yitzchak, we mentioned him previously, and it's not the Beis Yitzchak from Kovna, it's Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, who was Talmud of Yeshuas Yaakov, and he was appointed, he was a Rav in Galicia, and he was Nifter in 1905. So he lived in the late 1800s, mid and late 1800s. And he was asked a very interesting shaila. He was asked a shaila of a case of like an aguna shaila, where there was a guy who was about to die, and they didn't have children. What's going to happen if he dies without children? Of course, his wife is going to become a yevama. And the brother who's going to have to do yibam, they didn't know where he was. He was across the world. She'd never get a yibam. So this husband on his who's about to die wants to divorce his wife. The problem is he's in the hospital in one city, and his wife is in a different city. So how is he supposed to divorce his wife in a different city? The question was, could he appoint a shaliach with a telegraph? Right? You remember the telegraphs? You had a telegraph machine over here. You had a telegraph machine over there. You would tell the operator what to write. The operator would type it in. It would go a few hundred or a few thousand miles away, and there they would click into on the telegraph operator there, and the telegraph operator would type it out and give it to the person whose message it was to. Could you appoint a shliach via telegraph? So there's no voice there at all. So there he discusses what the status, what the parameters of a telegraph would be for the appointing a shliach to appoint somebody to give a get. We're not going to go into that. But right after that, at the end of that tshuva, believe it or not, in the 1800s, he deals with this question of what about a telephone? He says maybe you could appoint a shliach with a telephone. Why? Because with a telephone, we could recognize the person's voice. And therefore, we can know that it's him to really, he's really the one who appointed the shlichas based on his voice. Wow. I want you to know something. A friend of mine who gave a shiur on this topic recently, Rabbi Zilberman, points out that the Beis Yitzchak's tshuva about telephones was in 1868. And in 1868, or somewhere around there, he says you can rely on the voice of the telephone. Rabosai, Alexander Graham Bell, didn't patent his phone until 1876. So that means Beis Yitzchak was willing to rely on the authenticity and the veracity of voice recognition on a telephone in the mid-1800s, even before Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone, which is incredible. And based on this, Rav Avadia says, yes, if you heard a voice calling, if the wife, Mrs. Saada, heard her husband's voice calling her from the Twin Towers, that telephonic voice recognition would suffice to qualify as voice recognition to identify this is her husband, and therefore she would be able to get married as and no longer considered an aguna. And that is the sugya of voice recognition, which is really based, again, this whole sugya is based on a stira in Shas, whether we recognize voice recognition or not, and how we answer the stira. We have different ways. Maybe we do accept voice recognition for Isser, not for Nefashos. Maybe we accept it for Edus, but not for Edus. Maybe we recognize it only when there's no contradiction to it. Maybe we recognize what were some of the other answers? What was the other answer? Where is that? Other answer. Oh, right. We only recognize voice recognition, if you're identifying, you're connecting the voice with a pre-known person, just, is that the voice? Yeah, it is. As opposed to just in a vacuum, you hear a voice and say, oh, it's probably so-and-so's. All these are different ways to answer the single stira in Shas, and based on those answers to the stira in Shas, we will be able to determine, answer all of our shilas that we asked this evening regarding all the shilas, the aguna shilas that we had this evening. I just want to finish off with one very beautiful thought. This whole shir was really based on what we had in the parasha a few weeks ago, Hakol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim De Esav. Now, when we talk about Hakol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim De Esav, there's a beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is just, again, I finished the halacha part. Here's just a little Dvar Agada. What does it mean when Yaakov Avinu, when Yitzchak Avinu said Hakol Kol Yaakov? Amru B'Medrash says, there's a quote from Rabbeinu Bechaya. Amru B'Medrash, Medrash Rabba, Ein Yaakov Shalat El B'Kolo, Vein Esav Shalat El B'Yadav. Our power, what we could control our voices. Esav, he's sholeit in his hands. He could control what he does. Similarly, where else do we see that we really control our fate with our mouths, with our voices? The pasuk, of course, that we say every morning in Lam Netzeach, Ela Berechav, Ela Vasusim, they come fighting with all kinds of stallions and fighter jets. Vanachna B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nezkir, we call out to Hashem. Similarly, Moshe, when they're trying to say, please let us go through your land, he says, we cried out to our God to save us. And now, this is the punchline. Look at this beautiful quote from the Medrash that Rabbi Bechai cites. Amar of Abba Bar Kana. There were great philosophers that the world had. They had the greatest philosophers that the Gentile world had. It was Bilam ben Ba'or and Avnimus Hagardi. Don't know who that is. And the nations of the world approached them and said, could we destroy the Jewish people? They asked the philosophers of the day, is it possible for us to destroy the Jewish people? And he responded, look at this. L'chu v'chizru abate knesses u'bashim midrashos shalem. Go look at their shuls, go look at their bate sefer, at their bate medrash. Im ata motzim tinokos mitzafsfim bekolam. If you hear children learning Torah, if you hear people davening in their base medrashes and in their yeshivas, no, you will not be able to defeat them. Ein atem yicholim lahem. V'imlav, but if you don't hear the children learning Torah, if you don't hear the voices from the shuls, atem yicholim lahem, you will be able to attack and destroy the Jewish people. Shekach hivticham avim, because this is what their grandfather Yitzchak Avinu promised them. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Then they have a voice. Otherwise, Hayadayim Yidei Esav. So long as we have a Kol Kol Yaakov, there's no Yadayim Yidei Esav. If God forbid we don't have the voice, we don't have the Torah learning, we don't have the tefillah, then there will be a possibility of Yadayim Yidei Esav. We should be zocha that our voices should be filled with Torah. We should be zocha that our Bate Medrash and our Bate Knesset should be continually filled with learning. And we should be zochet to always have a yadayim, Kol Kol Yaakov, and never need to be subject to yadayim, Yidei Esav.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.